Father, we're so grateful that this morning we can sing a little louder. God, we thank you that through everything that we're facing in life, we still have the reason and every reason why to sing just a little louder. When we think that we are not heard in the moments, when we perceive that you're silent, in the moments where we are in despair, God, and we sing a little louder, thinking maybe that's what's gonna get your attention. Lord, but even in those moments, you love on us and care for us and remind us that even it's through a loud voice or through a whisper, you hear us. And for that reason, we're so grateful. And we thank you, God. I pray that you would bless the remaining of the service. As we open your word, Lord, I'm not interested in people's opinions or just my opinions, Lord, but what do you say? What does your word says? And that's what we're interested. That's what we always want to be interested in. And help us and protect us from ourselves, not to get so carried away that we forget what your texts say. And I pray that this morning you would speak to my heart and to all of our hearts and cover us with your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, you may be seated. Truly a joy to see each one of you. To many of you, I had a chance to say good morning. To many of you, I did not have the opportunity, but it's so good to be in the house of God, to open up the word of God and read from it and learn from it. And I pray that we would be a people that will not look in the word of God and not be transformed, but we would be a people that the word of God will change us and transform us. We will not be the people like we will look in the mirror and the moment we turn around, we forget how we looked. This morning, I went a few times to the mirror because I wanted to make sure that everything is intact and everything is proper the way it's supposed to be, right? And so important in our life, when we come to the Word of God, that we are reminded that the Word of God is not just information, but it's power behind it, the power of the Holy Spirit that sustains the Word of God to change us and transform us to be more like Jesus. Amen? This morning I've entitled the message, Come, Let Us Reason Together. Come, let us reason together. These are the words of Isaiah the prophet that began to prophesy and relate to the people the word of the Lord. And Isaiah chapter 1, when right away when he starts to talk to the nation of Judah and to the tribe of Judah and the nation of Israel, they're going through so much rebellion. They're facing so many obstacles in their life, failures. They're living in sin. They're living in defeat. They're living in compromise. And just to give you an idea, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2 and down says this, Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And that's the word of the Lord. God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah to the people that I have nourished you. I have done so much for you. I have brought you out of the land of Egypt, of captivity. I had given you everything that you need to walk in freedom, and you have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. In different words, it says, even the animals know who their master is. The donkey knows its owner. I grew up on a farm in Ukraine many years ago, and part of my responsibility and my siblings' responsibility was to take the cow out for a pasture. And we had to walk about probably half an hour to go to a pasture. There was a public pasture. And then we would come back home in the evening. We would take lunches with us. We would leave early in the morning. And we had to figure everything out. We were, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 years old. And we had things to do, responsibilities from our parents. But one of the things is, that it's amazing, there were a lot of cows in that field. But when the evening would come, they would know their owner. They would know even us as children that they belong to us. And they would not follow any other owners that were there, but they would follow us at home. At times, if the cow was fed up with all of the attention that was getting from us, the cow would take running home. And it's amazing because it was about 20 minutes, half an hour walk. The cow would take running. She was booking it. And do you think she would come to my neighbor's home? She knew exactly where to come. She would come right at home. And that's what God is addressing through the prophet Isaiah to his people. He says, even the animals know its owner, but you have forgotten who I am to you. I am the living God. I am the loving Father. I am the creator of heavens and the earth. I have called you. I have caused you to walk in freedom. And it comes moments in your life that your behavior is such that you forget that I am God, that I am your Father. Verse 4, alas, sinful nation and people laden with iniquity, a brood of evaders, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backwards. And he continues on and on and on to admonish them and to speak into their life. Verse 12, when you come to me, or when you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? In different words, he was saying, there is moments in your life that you show up before me. But who informed you that you can just come like that, in that state that you find yourself in? When you come in the state that you find yourself in compromise and willful sin, when you come in the state when you are against me, your lifestyle is against my words, you're just trampling my courts. He takes it further in verse 15. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Those are serious words. God is rebuking his people. And he continues, and he is giving them a suggestion. He says this, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Let's pause here. And now he says this, come now and let us reason together. God, are you sure that these words are towards me? You just rebuked us. You just admonished us that we're coming to your presence, into your courts, filled with sin. You just reminded us that all of what we're doing is just wasting time because you're not hearing us. When we pray to you, when we lift our hands to you, you are reminding us that you don't see even us. You're rejecting the sacrifices that we bring before you. And then you're just reminding us what we should do. And verse 18, it's a change of a story. It's not change of a heart, it's a change of a story, because God's heart was always for his people. And that's when he says, come now, let us reason together. Now, let's imagine this, that we are working and we're not doing a good job at work. We're slacking, we're sleeping instead of working. We're gossiping to the point we're even violating every rule that the company has for us employees. And we know that. And even at times when we would come to the office to talk with the boss to see if we can negotiate something, the door is shut. And we're rejected. And now in our days of working and a days of doing nothing, there is a phone call that comes from the boss. And he says, come to the office, let's talk. What would our reaction be? I am what? Fired. I am gone. I think I should get my own belongings and leave before anybody sees me in embarrassment. I think I should hide and not show up, pretend like I'm sick today, right? What would our reaction be when our boss says, I gotta talk to you. I have to meet with you. I need to bring some things up to you. We would run. But these are the words of God through Isaiah to his people. And God says this, come now, let us reason together. Another translation says this, let us settle the matter. Whatever what you're going through, let us settle once and for all. Let us bring this journey to an end. And you would think that in that moment, God would take a big stick and just begin to just whip everybody around. Because he just rebuked, the whole chapter one is just rebuking the nation of Israel, the tribe of Judah, reminding them how wicked they are. Am I not enough for you? I've done all of these things for you. But even in his anger, there is great mercy, great compassion, and great love. Even after pouring his heart towards his people, letting them know the state they find themselves in, I would think that the verse would say, come now, let us reason together, let us talk. You are wicked, I'm gonna destroy you and kill you and wipe you out. But that's not the heart of God. He says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they should be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. That's the heart of a father. That's the heart of God towards his people. And not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. Praise God for that. There is nothing in our life that we have done to turn us away from God, that turn God away from us, I should put. There is nothing in our life that we're doing and dealing with that God will say, enough is enough. I'm not dealing with you anymore. Till there is breath in our lungs, the love of Jesus Christ is after us. The love of Jesus Christ is knocking on the doors of our hearts. The love of God desires to transform us. Hallelujah. I remember when I was a little child, I was growing up. This is one of the memories that I have, and I can bring you to the same window what I was looking through. Growing up, I was very, very little, but one of the best memories I have, when the snow would come and we would get ready for winter. We lived in a village and our front yard was filled with mud, dust, and rocks. If it was raining, we had this rule. You had to sit and wash all of the shoes. If we had guests, all of the shoes would be on a porch. And there was a bucket of water and a rag, and we had to wash all the shoes because we didn't want garbage and dirt and mud to come into the house. When it was not raining, we had to sweep the dust, if you can believe it, to make it a little bit better in our front yard. But when the snow would come, I'm telling you, this was the moment when I would sit as a little child and just look and look and look. In a matter of a time, everything that was filthy, everything that was dirty, all the rocks, all the dirt, all the mud, everything, little by little, was turning into a beauty. Whatever was a mess for us, God was turning into a beauty. And we had strong winters, sometimes a few feet of snow, and everything was covered in snow. And when I began to think about this week, the scripture began to speak to me. Pavel, your life was like that, filled with filthiness, with sin, with dirt, with garbage. And that's what he is reminding the nation of Israel. Even though your sin is so wicked, like the snow covers the earth, I will cover you because I am a merciful God and I'm a loving Father. And this morning, if God is speaking to my heart and to your heart and says, come, let us talk. Come, let's reason together. He's not doing this out of anger because he wants to punish us, but through the new covenant, he's inviting me and you to his table to remind us that there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ, that he can wash us and cleanse us, that we belong to him, even when we have deserved wrath, even in those moments, God covers us, amen? And now in the New Testament, he's not only calling us to be holy, but he calls me and you to live a holy life. How do we do that? We can't on our own. We can't do it on our own. But it's through the power of the cross. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and down, verse 13 and down says this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 and down. Therefore, with minds that are alert. A different translation says, think clearly, with minds that we have the ability to think clearly and fully sober, which again is translated exercising self-control. We're not intoxicated. We're not doing things that we have no control over, but fully sober, having self-control over our bodies. Set your hope on, or different translation says, look towards or look forward to something that will give you an encouragement to pass through. Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. You see, there's a season in our life, or there was a season in our life, when we lived in ignorance. We had no idea. We did not know better. And as born-again believers now, the Bible is calling us as Christians not to live the way we used to live, but to live a holy life. In another translation, it says, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living, satisfying your own desires. At times, our own desires will contradict the desires of God. But being born again believers, we have every power and authority through the power of the Holy Spirit to submit to the Lord and to say, I wanna do things your way. Verse 15, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Peter, you should have chilled out a little bit. And you should have known better that we face difficulties in life. And you should have written here that be holy in most of the things that you do because you know we will slip. You know that we will fail. But he doesn't say that. He says, in all of the things, is it possible? Oh, I failed it already this morning. You probably failed driving here. Even during the service, we fail in those moments, even to think through our thoughts. So why are you writing these things? How is it possible living in this body, living in this flesh, living in this world, is it possible to live holy before the Lord? Yes, it is. Because God is holy. And as born again believers, now we have the power and the authority. It's imputed to me and to you. It doesn't mean that we live how we want, but it means that we are to submit to the Lord. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. since you call on Father who judges each person's works impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent and in fear. Verse 18, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed or you were bought from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. But this is powerful now, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, he was chosen before the creation of the world, as Pastor Josiah mentioned this morning. And that's why we have this opportunity to come to the Lord's table as we did this morning, to come and reason with the Lord, to talk with him, not to be pushed away or to be sent away empty, but to be reminded that we are washed by the blood of the Lamb. But was revealed in this last times for your sake. Throughout him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Our faith and hope are in God, not in people, not in programs, not in 50 steps. All of those things can be great tools, but our faith must be always first and foremost in God. We were talking the other day at our leaders' meeting, and I was just sharing how this ministry was founded in prayer by Pastor David Wilkerson. I have a lot to learn still. But even though World Challenge and Teen Challenge and other programs that Pastor David started, it was moments of prayer, at times hours of prayer, just laying hands and saying, God, deliver this person that was addicted to drugs, alcohol, or different sins of this world. And in many cases, or in most cases, God would come supernatural and deliver people on a spot, fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit, giving them the ability to walk in victory. And I desire that to see in my lifetime, this is what I was sharing. I desire to see that, not to get the glory, not to be like how great all of these things are for us, no, but how great our God is, that he's able to do that, that our hope and faith is rooted in Jesus Christ. As good as all of the other things are, I'm not knocking them down. But if we turn away from God and look in other avenues to seek freedom, it can bring freedom temporarily. But true freedom and salvation is found in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. From the heart. Oh, God, help me. A few names come to my mind. Help me. Help us. Even as we hear this scripture, to say, God, I hear your scripture, and help me to transform my life. So I'm not like that person, like I said, that we will look in the mirror. The moment we leave the mirror, we'll forget how we looked. God, help me and help all of us to forgive everyone from the bottom of our hearts. Verse 23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. The word of God is a seed that even this morning is being sown, and our prayer should be, God, I pray that nothing will come and steal the seeds from my heart. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flower fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Hallelujah. And not only to the people of that time, but also to me and you. This is the same word, imperishable word that has power in our lives, that reminds us that we're not rejected by the Lord, but we are loved by God. That we can find ourselves in sin this morning. But God is calling me and you to say, come and reason with me. Let's settle something in my heart and in your heart. I love you with everlasting love. And my desire is for you to be free. I'm forgiving you. I'm cleansing you. I'm setting you free. And now I'm calling you to walk holy before me. And you cannot do this on your own. You have to have me part of your life. And because I am holy, I'm not just keeping my holiness to myself, but it spreads out through the believer's heart. Hallelujah. As the worship team comes, in John chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5 and down says this. John chapter 1, verse 5 and down says this. This is the message we have heard from him and declared to you, God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. We claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness. We lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from most of our sins. Does it say that? No. When we walk in light, in the light of Jesus Christ, it purifies us from all of our sins. Hallelujah. From all of our sins. My brothers, my sisters, we cannot claim to say that we walk in light, we have communion with God, and then here among people walk in darkness, hate one another, fight with one another. But he says, no, if you are claiming that you have a relationship with God, it will translate, and as a result, we will walk in love, we will walk in communion with one another. Amen? Verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I thought you just said that we're gonna be powerful. We're not gonna deal with all of those things. And if we walk in light, you're gonna give us victory. No, but it says, but also, you can't be a Christian filled with pride to say, oh, I have no sin at all. It says, if you claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But how is it possible to live a holy life and also to have the understanding that I'm also a sinner? It's very easy. Till the day we take our last breath, we live in this world that is filled with sin. We will encounter things, but sin has no power over us. It has no power over us. But God is gonna give us the victory to overcome everything that comes against us. We will face difficulties. We will face temptations. But God gives us the power to overcome. He says, the righteous falls 7 times. Will he remain there? He will get up by the power of the cross. But the wicked will fall once and he stays there. Hallelujah. There's the hope of believers. There's the hope of new believers, old believers, middle believers. Doesn't matter in the journey. We are all believers in Jesus Christ when we have received him as a personal savior. And it says this, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purifies us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. In different words, he says this, if you claim for the word of God to be in us, you will also come to the knowledge that wretched people we are without Christ, but with him, we are more than conquerors. Now, David says in Psalm 51, verse 1 and down, this is a psalm of David when the prophet Nathan came to him after David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And David's heart was filled with pain. He thought that he can conceal, he can hide. But he says this, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Pay attention here. It doesn't say, have mercy on me, God, because I am faithful to you, because I have did good today. Have mercy on me because I've impressed you how well I have done for the past hour. No, he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. It's his light in our lives. It's his mercy through our lives. It's his unfailing love in our hearts, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. My brothers and my sisters, is this morning, your sin is right before your eyes. Nobody might know. You only know what you're going through. You only know what you're facing. You only know how you live. And in moments, you want victory over it. And in different moments, you feel convicted and you have freedom from it. You can say, I can relate to David. And David says, oh, cleanse me, wash me, help me, because I need deliverance from what I have done. Verse 4, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Verse 5, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mothers conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Now verse 7, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be washed and whiter than snow. Can it be that David knew what Isaiah said? Can it be that the words of Isaiah were brought to the memory of David when he says, come now, let us settle the matter once and for all. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Can it be that David, in the place of filth, in the place of defeat, he knows the mercy of God and he comes to him and says, oh God, I'm coming to you and I'm asking you things, not that you did not promise to them, but I'm asking the things that you have promised to me. And now it's so easy to say to others that you can apply your righteousness to them, but I need it today. I need it in my home. I need it in my marriage. I need it in my relationships. And God comes to restore us because he has redeemed us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10 says this, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we awake or sleep, we shall live together with him. What a powerful, powerful scripture to remind us. And the word of God reminds us that God did not appoint me and you for wrath, but he appointed me and you either we live or we die, that we will always be with him. Hallelujah. That's the greatness and the mercy of God, undeserved, unmatched love of Jesus Christ that is extended to us. Whenever when they ask one of the prophets to come to prophesy negative things on the Israel nation, even though the Israel nation was in sin during that time, the prophet says, I see no iniquity in Israel. And through the cross, through the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no iniquity that God the Father sees in his church, in the body of Jesus Christ. But we are holy, justified, made righteous in the sight of God through the cross and by faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That either we live or we die, we are with Him always. And that's what I want to encourage you this morning, my brother, my sister. In one moment, yes, we might fall, we might feel filthy, and all the things can be true. But God says this morning, come and reason with me. I want to have a conversation with you. I want to talk to you. And don't approach me in fear, because I'm not here with a stick to beat you down. But I'm here to remind you, though your sins are like scarlet, though they shall be as white as snow. Hallelujah. Though we have messed up, though you have walked through the valley of the shadow of death that left stains in your life, I am here to talk to you, to wash you, to cleanse you, and to remind you that you are not appointed for wrath, but you are appointed for life, and life in abundance. Praise be to God. Be encouraged, my brother, my sister. Whenever when you feel that the Lord is calling you, when the Holy Spirit comes and tugs us to come to His Word, to pray, especially in those moments when we fail, and He says, come, let us talk, let us reason together, our reaction would be first and foremost to run away, to hide. But He says, no, even though I have so many things against you, because of the cross, I'm washing you cleanse, and I'm going to make it clear to you that you are loved, that you're not on a journey for a rat, but you're on a journey to be with me at home one day when we'll rejoice with Him always, forever and ever. And that's why this faith in Jesus Christ, the unwavering faith that we are to have, it's only by the power and through the power of Jesus Christ that we can say, we will finish this race, we will see Him, and we will be with Him. Not because what we have done, but because of what He has done for me and for you. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you that you are reminding us this morning that when we are in you, you see no iniquity in us because of the cross. And on this journey, where at times our lives are still filled with defeat, sin, battles, I pray that we would not give in and live there, but we would rise on our feet and continue to follow you. Lord, I pray, if there is people in this room or online that you're calling to them and saying, come, let us reason together. Let us have a conversation. Help us to know that those moments are not because you are mad at us, but because you love us and you want to deliver us and make us whole. Father, help us, help us, help us to get a glimpse of the love of God in a deeper way this morning. Help us to get a glimpse of the grace of God, because we truly will live according to your word. Lord, I pray that we would not think that your love and grace causes us to live licentiously in sin. No, contrary, it causes us to live a victorious life, because you will empower us to live a victorious life. And we thank you, Lord, that our conversations with you are always honest, are always pure, are always to build. Even when you have to address areas in our life, you still finish with these words that when we come to you, though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they should be like wool. And we thank you, Lord, that this is your promises, and we cling to your promises in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we stand together, please? This morning, I would like to give an altar call. A very specific altar call. That if you live in a willful sin, God is calling you to freedom. Only you know your life. Only you know your private life. Only you know your relationships. Only you know what you're watching. Only you know what you're doing in secret. Only we know ourselves about ourselves. And nobody else may know. Your husband, your wife, your children, your friends, nobody might know. But let me tell you something. There is a God that knows it all. You can't hide from Him. He knows it all. And this morning, my prayer is that this message will uplift you and cause you to live for Him. And the Lord is saying, come and let us reason together. I love this. I love that the Word of God says, let our reason together. It's not only one-way street speaking. It's not only God speaking and we're just listening in fear. No, He says, let us talk together. Tell me your circumstances and I will tell you what my position is. Tell me about your sin and I will tell you about my righteousness. Tell me about your fear and I will tell you about my love. Tell me about the wicked things you're doing and I will tell you about the grace that I have towards you. Tell me about everything that you're going through and I will tell you about your future that is bright in me and through me. And that's my altar call. The moments when you think that God is gonna push us away or despises us in a moment of failure, He says, no, in those moments, come, let us reason. Tell me everything that you're going through. And even though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, stained from this world, they should be like wool. Hallelujah. 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 There's the grace, the mercy of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not mad at you. God is not mad at you. But He wants to cause you and me to walk in victory and to remind us this morning that we are loved by Him. And as He speaks to you, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, don't quench it. Don't just throw it away. But say, God, help me as I leave this service to make things right. And help me. Help me to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Not because I am so strong, but because You have called me to a holy life. And You will help me to live this out. Because on my own, I'm still a sinner. And if you say, oh, I have no sin, I'm perfectly fine. Those are the first category that we need God. Because the Bible says you're a liar. We need God. We need God. I beg you this morning, don't make peace with the things that are contrary to the Word of God. But come to Jesus. He'll wash you, cleanse you, and He'll remind you that He's faithful to carry you through, that you're not destined for wrath, but you are destined for the light of Jesus Christ to shine through you and in you and cast out every darkness. In Jesus' name. It's a bold call. But to be a believer in Jesus Christ, it requires boldness to say, God, I need You. I need You. No one will think anything of you. It's your life and your relationship between Jesus. Who cares what other things? It's about you, your eternity, your walk with the Lord. It's your journey with the Lord. And God wants to have a conversation with you personally. And He says, come, let us reason together. And you'll be shocked to hear what He has to say about you. You are loved. I'm going to cover you with My righteousness. I'm going to impute My righteousness to you. I'm going to give you victory. And it's not that I'm going to give you victory. I gave you victory. Walk in it now. I'll fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this word does not have to be the story of somebody else's victory, but it can be your story. In Jesus' name, amen.